Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and good afternoon, and welcome to West Side Visions on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Brother Tony Bullock, and with my co-host, Sister Eileen Reed. Sister Reed, are you there?
I am here, Brother Bullock. Good evening.
It is definitely a good evening. And here we are once again to just see what's happening in today's world, what's going on out here in the universe and this place we call planet Earth.
Well, it's been a lot going on, but I'm going to follow your lead because I could be here for a week talking.
Well, yes, it has been a lot going on, and coming to you live and direct from the Fulton County Courthouse in Atlanta, Georgia. 45 was bragging about he needed four indictments. Hey, four indictments would make sure he gets in the White House. Well, he got number four with 41 counts on that indictment.
That's funny.
No, anybody with any common sense would not be out here asking to be indicted.
Well, you know, I was watching Abby Phillips on CNN right before the show started, and she had a very combative Chris Sununu, Governor Chris Sununu, on the show, right? And so she's asking him questions, and he said, well, look, very rudely, he says, well, look, he used the name Trump. He said Trump is loving this because regardless of what the charges are, mainstream media, you guys are saying his name 100 times a day or more, and he doesn't care about the charges. He cares about sucking up all the air in the room and so on and so forth. And so, I was listening to this guy, Brother Tony, and I'm thinking, you see, this is exactly the kind of MAGA-leaning people that say they're not with Trump, but they have Trump-like behavior. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I was having a bad afternoon because it's like 101 degrees at 8 o'clock.
No, but the truth of the matter was, the truth of the matter was, what he was saying was the truth. Because I was one of those guys. As long, that old saying, any press coverage is good press coverage, even if it's negative.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how 45 is looking at it. They may be saying something negative about me, but they're still mentioning my name.
Right, right. And isn't that something that you need attention so badly? Now, I mean, I'm framing this, and Brother Tony, you help me out if I get this wrong. You, as a white male, moneyed, despite all the bankruptcies, person, entitled person in America, you need attention so badly that you are willing to plug into this white supremacy mindset, this neo-fascist mindset that is running rampant through globally, not just here in America, globally, to get your political kicks. I'm gobsmacked. I'm not surprised. But I am gobsmacked that this kind of attention is okay with him.
I was just about to say, do not be surprised because he leaned into that when he first came into the White House.
Mm.
And, you know, any time that he's telling people like the Proud Boys to be ready to go at any notice,
and he's
never talking down these extremists and these white conservative parties like the Patriot Front.
Right.
That lets you know where he's coming from. You look into You look at what they describe as the MAGA party, and it tells you everything you need to know. They're racist. They're misogynist.
Yeah. Straight up. And
they hate everyone who isn't them.
About that. You know, Brother Tony, when you brought up those names of these hate groups, because, I mean, come on, people, that's what they are. And I know you saw it, so I'm asking the callers who if we have any that are local, if they saw what happened in Hanford this past week. Now, apparently this happened in North Hanford, and I don't know Hanford well enough to know north, south, east, or west, but this happened in Hanford, California, a smaller town in Central California in the Central Valley. These folks woke up to find little big baggies with rocks in them with racist content in them, asking them to, you know, support groups like Proud Boys, the KKK, so on and so forth. And I'm like, this is 2021, and I'm having flashbacks, Brother Tony, because see, you and I were out at California State University, Fresno, in the late 70s, early 80s. And so we know how the Central Valley rolls, and I do remember that there was a phone number that you could call. It was a 209 number then. That you could call, and the message changed every week for the KKK, bringing you live and in person their message for the week. And at that time, there were no cell phones, right? Yeah, so my uncle, who just passed in Oakland this past week, did not believe me, Brother Tony. My uncle did not believe in 1979, 1980, the KKK had that kind of grip in Central California. So I gave him the number. He called it several times, long distance, folks. He had to pay for that. And he said, niece, this is why I left rural Texas. And here we go. I said, okay, uncle. But hey,
well, yeah, and, you know, you and I both know. You and I both know that these things took place because being here in the Central Valley, we knew from, like, when we were in grade school, we knew these folks existed here in the valley because you saw them. Now, you were talking about Hanford. So did this happen again since the time you mentioned it last Thursday?
No, but they're still talking about it because the chief of police in Hanford is spinning this story now. That's not our kind of community. We don't condone this, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and the band played on, and I'm just thinking that this is your standard, not in my neighborhood, you know, this is just some miscreants from somewhere else kind of deal. That's what it seemed like to me. But that's why I brought it up.
Yeah,
what
you want to bet that he knows several of the people involved.
Oh, they could be allegedly on the police force.
I would not be surprised because Hanford is just like Kingsburg and Fowler and Sanger and Pollier. You know, those kind of communities, when things like that happen, they know the people who are involved. They just choose not to speak their names out loud. But we're going to get back to talking about what's going on down in Georgia. And you know, it is amazing. And I guess when Fannie Willis started talking about these indictments, I guess 45 and his crew took it as a joke. She ain't got no power. She can't do nothing to us. At that time, I'm the president of the United States. There ain't a damn thing she can do to me. Well, guess what? And I spent the afternoon reading the violation of the Georgia RICO, Racketeering Influenced and Corruption Organizations Act.
Okay.
And I'm reading through these 41 indictments, and the first name listed is, of course, 45's name. And what do they have there for him is solicitation, a violation of oath by a public officer. And I'm just gonna name a few people.
Okay.
Rudy Giuliani. False statements and writings. John Eastman. False statements and writings. Mark Meadows. Solicitation of violation of oath by a public officer. Kenneth Cheeseborough, the same. Solicitation of violation of oath by a public officer. Jeffrey Clark, false statements and writing. But here's the one to get me, Jenna Ellis. And you remember Jenna Ellis?
Yes, I do. Yes, I
they
do.
They have Jenna Ellis for impersonating a public officer.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. They have her for imitate. And, you know, that's going to hold. That's going to carry some weight.
Well, yeah. That's like somebody putting on a police officer uniform, pulling people over. Hello?
Exactly. That's going to carry some weight. Good old Sidney Powell. They have Sidney Powell for conspiracy to commit filing false documents. They also have them for conspiracy to commit election fraud, conspiracy to commit computer theft, conspiracy to commit computer trespass, conspiracy to defraud the state, and that right there is definitely gonna really, that one there, conspiracy to defraud the state, that's gonna carry some weight.
Well,
and I don't care what nobody say, somebody is gonna start rolling over.
Well, Mark Meadows is already trying to do a change of venue. He wants to take his case and have it tried in D.C. Now, what I love about Ms. Fannie Willis is this. Not only did she do her homework, she's got a 90% conviction rate. But in this particular instance, because RICO, they're treating these folks like they are the mafia. Hello, listeners,
exactly.
Like the mafia. So that means Donald Trump is at the head of the pyramid as the kingpin, and then you have all these underlings, you know, these capos, and Mark Meadows is a capo. So, number one, that already identifies him as somebody who is knowledgeable, knew what was going on, can't play dumb. But he's trying to change the venue. Why? Because he does not want those voters in Georgia sitting in judgment of him. He wants people who understand or who he thinks understands the political game in D.C. Brother Tony, it's going to be
not going to work because Fannie Willis has done her homework.
Yes,
Fannie Willis has done her homework. Fannie Willis has sat down, and before she even put this together, she sat back and looked at everything. She didn't rush to put this together. She took her time. And she took her time to make sure that they had no wiggle room.
None.
And even though you might see some little experts in the media saying that, well, you know, certain people came out and said they were being charged before they were being charged, and that gives them a way to work around this. No, it does not.
Mm-hmm. No, Fannie's on it. She said she was ready, and she's ready.
You know, they have sat down and did their work, and the people that she brought in to work with her were people who were experts on RICO charges, who were experts on computer fraud.
Absolutely.
They know what they're talking about.
You know what, Brother Tony, I'm so glad that you said that because I'm reading, I actually wrote this down, y'all. I might have done it incorrectly, but one of the special counsels that she employed wanted 45's direct messenger Twitter account to show intent that, and their argument was that, well, look, you know, that's a private account, and he was talking to somebody, DMing them because, you know, it was not in the course of his duties as president. And to that I say, pshaw, pshaw, y'all. But that's just
no, I'm just going to keep it real because, see, the one thing they keep forgetting is once you commit something to Twitter, it is now open to the public. It is now open to the public.
I know that, and you know that. But
even if you're sending a direct message, when law enforcement comes calling with a warrant to check out those messages, you got to give them up.
And please remember, y'all, and I know, Brother Tony, you already know this. I'm talking to our listeners now. Rachel Maddow had Hillary Rodham Clinton on her show yesterday, and I didn't see all of it, but I saw enough to know that Hillary was probably tickled to death about what happened. But the thing is that they tried to crucify her about a server, and they grilled her for 11 hours in Congress, and they still came up empty-handed. Now we have a man with all these indictments, you know, all these charges, and his minions, and he wants to cry waterfowl, oh, you know, whatever, whatever. Karma is a political bitch, and she has come calling for 45 and his minions, and it's going to be quite a show, Brother Tony. Quite a show.
Yes, she has, but, you know, I'm going to be real honest. I sat and I watched Rachel's interview with Hillary Rodham Clinton, and she was very professional about what was going on. And not only that, she was very matter-of-factly about what was going on, because you could hear that tone in her voice of, I tried to tell y'all what was getting ready to happen.
You're right. I got that.
And, you know, I can tell you this. She was very professional. And one of the things she said stuck with me. She said, you know, in one way, I feel one kind of way, but in another way, this is really sad that someone who called themselves a president of the United States sunk to this level.
Exactly. Exactly.
And she says, not that we did not know that he was capable of it, because he kept showing us he was, but that it actually happened.
It actually happened. Brother Tony, let me ask you something. And she might have said this and I missed it, because as I said, I didn't see the whole thing, but it seems to me, from her tone and the questions that Rachel Maddow was asking her, it seemed to me that really what was being tried and what is being on trial now is the strength of our democracy, this democracy that we live in, that this democracy that people have fought and died for, especially people of color, black people. I'm just going to say it. Black people have died for. Democracy is on trial right now. It is.
That goes without saying. That goes without saying. Stevie Wonder can see that. Stevie Wonder can see that.
I'm seeing it because I don't think you can say it enough.
Yeah. That's just a true statement. Democracy, all of this has to do with the democracy of this country and where it's headed. Because if we do not correct it, we're going to have major problems.
Major problems. And this is why Brother Tony and myself are always saying, what is it you always say, Brother Tony, about voting?
Your vote is your voice. You do not allow anyone to take it from you, and you use it strongly.
Exactly.
But you know, with these indictments going on, we do have a presidential election coming up, and we do have all these Republican pundits supposedly running for office. But yet, they are continuing to circle the wagons around 45. For example, Ron DeSantis said that in a viral press conference that the Georgia prosecutors were trying to shoehorn the contest over the 2020 election in RICO statutes, which really was only designed to go after organized crime and has nothing to do with political activity. Now, see that right there. Lets you know he is a true Florida man.
Yeah, he is.
Because what is the RICO statute for? It's for any organization that appears to be engaging in racketeering, period.
Right. Especially across state lines. Yeah.
Especially across state lines.
Yep.
And the fact that 45 reached out to Republicans in Maryland makes it work across state lines. They were smart enough to not deal with him. They were like, thank you, but no thank you. Because he was giving them the we're in the same party line, you're good Republicans, you know where your truth lies, you know what side of the coin you're supposed to be on. They didn't fall for the okey-doke.
They didn't take the bait. They left the building before the cult stuff started. You know, Brother Tony, it doesn't pain me to say what I'm about to say, because I think this is the way it's supposed to work. Mike Pence did the right thing. He said, it's over. We lost. We can't change what happened. You know, that's unconstitutional. I mean, these are people that took an oath of office. And every American has to do that depending on what you're doing, whether you're in the military, whether you're an officer in a political party that you hold some sort of title. We all took that oath to protect and defend the Constitution. And then you got this clown looking for 11,000-something votes. That's all I need.
11,870 votes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But not only that, think about the people he had working with him. For example, Rudy Giuliani, former mayor of New York, and at one time 45's attorney. Now, here's a man who used RICO charges to go after Gambino in New York.
Hello.
Okay.
Yes, he did.
But now he's involved in something with RICO, and I'm telling you, he had a plan. He had 16 Georgia Republicans serve as fake electors, falsely swearing that Trump had won the 2020 election and declaring themselves the state's duly elected qualifiers. So. That right there going to come back to bite him.
Well, you know what? There's a lot that we can say about Rudy Giuliani. I seem to remember when he was America's mayor, and it was at the pinnacle of his popularity and all that, and he was thinking about running for political office, presidential office, excuse me. And now I don't know if it's just that Rudy – I'll tell you this, Brother Tony, this is my opinion – I think that he used those Gambino bona fides to do everything to get where he got close to Trump. And he just thought the rest of us were ignorant and stupid, that we couldn't put the dots together and add it all up. But we did. Everything you just laid out about Rudy Giuliani.
I've never been a Rudy fan, because Rudy did black New Yorkers very, very dirty. He was the guy who came up with this. When you see him, stop him, frisk him, no matter what, who it was, how old he was. There were cops who got caught doing things corruptly, but they had this slogan they used, and the slogan was, it's Giuliani time, which meant We can go out here and beat people and do whatever we want, and we can get off. And they were. They were getting off attacking these young black men, these Puerto Rican men, doing some of the dumbest stuff in the city.
Yeah, I was never a fan either because of his authoritarian kind of approach to everything. He's the worst of the worst to me. So, yeah, man. But wait a minute. This is 45's running partner. This is 45's attorney. They are locked up together.
I'm going to tell you like this. I'm not going to say he was his running partner, but he was his attorney at one time. And I'm going to tell you how he ended up being his attorney was because 45, who doesn't pay his attorneys, couldn't get anybody else. And he was like, well, you know, Rudy is close to me. So all I got to do is let him come down here to Mar-a-Lago and stay and hang out and be around young women, and he'll be all right. And that's exactly what happened.
That's a running partner, y'all.
What happened. But they have butted heads, you know, especially lately, because, you know, 45 has this bad habit of throwing people under the bus when he thinks he is about to get posted.
Yeah, I know. And I'm sure I'm talking about 45, y'all. He has already thought ahead about when he gets in office again. He's going to have some legislature that says, you know, if you are a candidate and this and that, to insulate himself because, hey, FDR had multiple stays in office. So he likens himself to this big statesman. You know, the boy is delusional, but he's dangerous. He's like Hitler on that. And that's just me talking, and I'm saying that because Hitler was a failed artist. Hello. A painter. He was a failed artist. And then he turned to something else after World War I and became what? A victim. Because Germany became a political victim after World War I. And that was the start of it. So I'm looking at connecting all these personal dots for Trump. Trump was not his daddy, and we all know what his daddy was. He was a racist. He was a misogynist. But he didn't have to declare bankruptcy 6 or 7 or 8 times. You know?
Right.
But your brother, Tony, I remember those construction workers that were, like, upset because they could not get paid.
Exactly.
And it doesn't work.
So getting back to the indictment. So
all right.
Then you have Mark Meadows, who was at one time 45's chief of staff, and he got involved, took his butt down there to Cobb County, talking to state investigators who were conducting the audits of signatures on the absentee ballots at that time, and he obtained the phone number of the chief investigator for the Secretary of State's office, and her name was Frances Watson. He passed it on to 45, who called her. Mark Meadows also participated in that January 2nd call between 45 and the Georgia State Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger. So he wants to sit back and say, well, I don't understand why they're trying to come after me. I do. You were involved.
You're a capo. That's right. And I'm sure, listeners, I'm sure that if things had walked their way, so to speak, that Raffensperger would have been looking for a higher, position in this whole endeavor. He would have been looking for an ambassadorship when, you know, Trump timed out or whatever. He would have been looking for something else. So he can't say why y'all picking on me. But, yes, Brother Tony, you're right.
That was Mark Meadows because Raffensperger, he was like, you know what? Yeah, I wish I could help y'all, but no.
No, I was talking about Meadows. I'm sorry if I made it sound like I was talking about Raffensperger, but you're right. And thank goodness he had enough sense to say thanks, but no thanks. Uh-uh. Not going to happen.
No.
This is a crazy world we're living in, man. Crazy.
Then
world.
You have his buddy, you have his good buddy, Sidney Powell, who was one of 45's lawyer, and he was an ally. And he was part of that group that met at the South Carolina home of conservative attorney Lynn Wood for the purpose of exploring options to influence the results of the election in Georgia and elsewhere. And now you understand why they got that state thing going on, crossing the state line.
That's right.
So it said, Wood was licensed in Georgia, and he said Powell asked him to help him find Georgia residents to serve as plaintiffs in lawsuits contesting the state's election results. Now, emails and documents obtained through subpoena show that Powell was involved in arranging a computer forensic team to travel to Coffee County to copy data and software from the election equipment that was set up there to take in votes. In other words, they were messing with the machines.
Wow, you can't make this up, listeners. You can't make this stuff up. This happened. These are things that happen. And now people want to deny their intent and that, oh, man. Wow. I think, you know, Fannie Willis has got an airtight case about some of these charges. I really do.
Yeah, but this is what gets me. You have people like DeSantis, Tim Scott talking about, yeah, they're just trying to weaponize everything against Trump, and they want 45 out of the race, and they're just trying to do anything they can to help Biden win. And here's the thing, like I said earlier, are they running against him, or are they circling the wagons around him?
Well, you know what? They're playing both sides of the coin, which I have noticed that a lot of the MAGA people do, and 45 himself. They're playing both sides of the coin. So, okay, on one hand, I am a candidate, and I'm the best person for this presidential gig. On the other hand, if my opponent, who appears to be King Kong, you know, if he gets in, well, I'm all about saving him, you know. if he makes, even though I'm the better person for the job. I mean, that's that MAGA logic.
Of course, and this is the last one I'll talk about, Jenna Ellis. Now, Jenna Ellis also was one of his lawyers, and she was hanging with Rudy. Now, December 3rd, she hosted a hearing by state Republican lawmakers in Georgia during which false allegations of election fraud were made. Jenna Ellis also wrote two legal memos to 45 and his attorneys advising that Pence should disregard certified electoral college votes from Georgia and other purported contested states when Congress meets to certify the election. That's what she wanted done. Anybody who is saying that, anyone who is saying that Fannie Willis doesn't have a strong case has no idea what they're talking about, because she does. And I'm going to tell you, when they start putting the pressure on you, you got 19 people under indictment. And I'm going to tell you, out of that 18, a good 6 or 7 going to start selling out if somebody ain't sold out already.
Oh, yeah, they're trying to make some deals. There's people on the phone right now, I'm sure, on the phone right now trying to work it to try to wiggle out of this whole thing, and I doubt that that's going to happen, because as Brother Tony and myself have been saying, Sister Fannie is thorough, 90% conviction rate, and she's a black woman. Boom, that's another blow. And
you know,
she's
smart.
That's another blow.
You know, I have to be real honest. I was very impressed with the statement that she made the other night, and she didn't stand in front of the microphone long. And
no,
of course, you always have one of those reporters who try to play the role. Well, you know, what do you say to people who say, you know, this is kind of like payback? And I love the statement she made. She was like, I work through and follow the law.
Mm-hmm.
She said, has nothing to do with payback. This has nothing to do with trying to get even with anybody. This has to do with the law. And
the
when
law.
She finished her statement, she politely walked off away from the mics and went on back to their offices to continue doing what they were doing.
Mm-hmm. To see that. Miss Fanny, I should say, because she's not that old. Miss Fanny, when you know, the good ones always make it look easy. And when you have done your job to the very best of your ability, and you know what you know because you know it, he's a beautiful example of a black professional. And if it was a brother, I'd be saying the same thing because we know what we have to bring to the table. And all I got to say, y'all, is Stacey Abrams. Stacey Abrams is the same kind of sister, okay? When she lost that election, she got busy. She hurried up and got busy doing something else to build community. And she's still doing it. So I have the utmost confidence and Fannie Willis. This is going to be quite a show.
Oh,
I'm getting my popcorn out because this is going
to
be.
I am going to make sure to. I will check in to the Talking Heads daily just to see what's happening. But you know, like everything else, you better take its course. And with stuff like this, you know, it's gonna take its course. But when these 2 or 3 months pass, and then when folks start hitting the courtroom, then we're going to get real fireworks.
It's going to get good.
With that being said, we're going to get into the show that we were scheduled to get into tonight, which is the Democrats. Democrats are donkey butts. Which are they? And, you know, just like we talked about the Republicans, we're going to talk about the Democrats because when you operate under a big tent, everybody is not growing in the same direction. So call-in number is 563-999-3043. If you feel like you want to check it out, get involved, have something to say about what's going on, give us a call. We're always willing to hear from you.
Well, go ahead and start, Brother Tony, because I got a couple things to say. And this is not a disclaimer. I love being a Democrat, been one since I was 18 and could vote, but I got some issues.
Well, if you're a Democrat, we all have issues because that's just how it operates. Speaking for myself, yes, I've always voted Democrat, but not only do I vote Democrat, I also vote issues. And I read about everybody that I'm going to vote for or think about voting for before I vote for them. I need to know where you stand and what you're standing for. So... with that being said, we're going to jump it off tonight because we're not going to drag this show along. We're going to do what we always do. So in a recent poll taken of the Republican and Democratic Party, it was shown that Democrats have a slight edge over the Republican Party, 48% to 39%. And most rank and file Republicans and Democrats say they trust their own party on issues separately. And with those issues, one of the main ones right now is, of course, our economy and how people are surviving. Now, let the Republicans say it. The Democrats are doing nothing. They're constantly trying to take money away from you. When the truth of the matter is, the Republicans are not passing any bills worthwhile, not doing anything. And what they do is the only somebody they want to give money to is the 1%.
That don't really need it.
They want to take care of all their buddies, but they don't want to take care of the people in the country who are actually taking care of the country. They want to spend their time trying to find a way to put Hunter Biden in jail, and I'm still trying to figure that out because Hunter Biden does not work for the U.S. government. Hunter Biden was not put into a position in the White House by his father, hint, hint, Hunter Biden,
mm-hmm.
has nothing to do with what's going on in D.C.
Right. Well, you know what it is, Rosa Parks. No, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
But yet, we do have some things that irritate me here in our own party. For example, the young lady down there in North Carolina who ran for office as a Democrat, but then turned around and switched and joined the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
Now, from what I understand is John Bell, who is the majority leader in North Carolina of the Republican Party, had already spoke with this person and had encouraged them to run for office because they liked the way that they talked on certain issues. And even though that they would be running as a Democrat, if she ever felt like she wanted to move on over, there would be a place for her. And lo and behold, that's what she did. She switched parties.
Right. She got into the shorter line. Yeah.
There's my other favorite person from the state of Arizona, Kristen Sinema, who didn't become a Republican, but she became an independent. But yet, she still wants to receive money from the Democratic Party to help in her upcoming campaign. Now, the party wasn't good enough for you to stay in because all of a sudden, you didn't hold to the same values of the party. But the whole time, in my eye, and speaking for myself, you, along with Joe Manchin, were working for the GOP.
Hello.
You were hanging with the GOP, talking with the GOP, walking with the GOP.
That part.
Bernie Sanders, and there's a whole bunch of you Bernie bros and girls out there. Now, Bernie Sanders has always been an independent, and Bernie can make sense at some times, and then other times Bernie goes completely off the damn rails. And people get mad because, you know, you want to support someone like Bernie. Why? Bernie don't support people like me. Bernie talk a good game, but, you know, in a way, Bernie is just like a Democrat who's wearing conservative clothing.
But that's why they keep electing him based on everything you just said. But I digress. Go ahead.
No, that's what I wanted to say about that. You know, please take the floor.
Well, you know, it's, and you said this at the top of the show, having a big tent with Democrats is problematic. And while we want to be inclusive and welcome everybody in, the fact of the matter is that you are going to give subversive forces. And I'm not saying that about Bernie, but you're going to get people like Sinema. You're going to get people like Joe Manchin. And you find a way, I guess, to work around it when really, if you think about it, if these people were in the GOP and they weren't in lockstep, you got to go. But Democrats don't do that. You know, we got to be all big-hearted. And, you know, there's this image of us about being these liberal, progressive, tree-hugging kind of people, when really we need a donkey with some teeth. And so that being said, I'm going to talk about the situation in Maui. And at first I was going to talk about it at the top of the show, but this really slides into exactly what we're talking about with Democrats. Okay, Hawaii has got a Democratic governor. Democratic governor, y'all. And we have a place that makes millions and millions and millions of dollars in tourist trade. Okay, so you have one of the most sacred places in Lahai based on the Hawaiian culture that is now burned to a crisp because the emergency sirens did not go off. And I just have to say this. I have to say it. I posted this online because I was so frustrated, everybody. I was frustrated. So you have a Democratic governor in a well-to-do state making all this tourist money, liberal supposedly, whatever, who is not looking out for the brown people that populated this place before the colonial people moved in. And I just have to say, my comment about the authorities were more worried about the tourist money than looking out for those brown people. I mean, there was no emergency siren alert. And I say, think about this the way you think about Hurricane Katrina and the way Little Bush handled that. Kanye was right.
Right.
Kanye was right when he said Bush is black people.
This is what
I discussed with Democratic governor about this.
This is what is coming to light about why the sirens didn't go off. And actually, they're starting to believe why the fire got started. Apparently, there was some shortages in the electrical lines because there's footage of sparks flying out these electrical lines, and apparently the system got shorted out. And I haven't been to Hawaii in a long time, but I do know that certain parts of the island, some of their infrastructure is, you know, it's kind of like going to Cuba, a little bit older than some.
Puerto Rico.
I'm like you. I'm like you. And I don't even think politics got anything to do with it, but those emergency sirens, something should have been done. Something should have been done. This is one of those things where, man, you just don't know. And apparently, when this fire had started, the people fighting the fire in the beginning, actually by 4:30, actually thought they had it under control. But also remember, Hurricane Dora was sitting out there off the coast, and when Hurricane Dora comes sweeping by, those winds help ignite that fire again. And when it did, there was no controlling it. And see, that's the other side of the coin of climate control. You know, people like to say there's no such animal. Y'all just want to say that. No, damn it. Climate control is real. And this was something that was not going. Go ahead, Sister Reed.
No, I'm sorry. Finish your point.
Go ahead, Sister Reed.
Well, what I was going to say is, no matter how we slice it, Hawaii was caught short. Maui was caught short, and
yes, it was. It was.
It is.
Nobody's saying it wasn't.
Yeah, it is unfathomable to me. All the millions of dollars that are brought into that state. Not only from tourist trade, but from the things that they grow, whether it be pineapple or sugar or whatever, you know, ranching, farming, whatever, that their infrastructure should be that bad. And I know across America, infrastructure is, but they must have the money. And I keep thinking about Katrina. I keep thinking about what happened in Puerto Rico when Trump was throwing paper towels at people. And, you know, and that was our responsibility, too. The infrastructure, it collapsed. I don't understand it. I want somebody to make it make sense to me. And so I'm probably being too emotional, but I just have a problem with this Democratic governor not crossing his T's and dotting his I's and all that good stuff.
The other side of the coin is one of those things that we will never know completely what happened. That's what happens in natural events. But, you know, the bottom line is, and getting back to what we're talking about tonight, the Democrats, period.
Exactly.
One of the things that we have to do, you know, if I was a young politician, I would say I was a young Democratic politician, I'm going to tell you who I would not be hanging with, what I got to Washington. I would not be hanging with my age group. I would not be kicking it with people like the squad. No. You want to know who I'm going to be hanging with? I'm going to be hanging with Annie Maxine. I'm going to be hanging with Chuck Schumer.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm going to be hanging with them old heads. Why? Because they've been there forever and a day, and they know what's going on.
Yeah, they do.
See,
yeah, they do.
One of the problems I have, with a lot of these young Democrats.
Yeah, the squad has their place, but they need to be sitting down listening to these elders in the party. I agree with you. You're absolutely right.
As I was getting ready to say, one of the problems I have with a lot of these young Democrats is they want to jump in there and think because they've been successful locally at the state level that they're going to run to Washington automatically and change everything instead of getting in there and finding out exactly where everything lies, who we need to talk to, who we need to get in our corner, what we need to find out in order to have a more cohesive working unit.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, you want to come in and start fights. Oh, well, you too old to be here. You too old to do this. How you think they got old? You don't get old being no fool.
Mm-hmm. Well.
And I'm not just talking about the squad. I'm just talking about young folks politics, period. Not only Democrat, but Republican, because there's a lot of young Republican idiots out there who going to fall on their sword and be trying to figure out what the hell happened.
Right. Well, you know what? I'm going to say I'm being selfish right now. Good. I'm a Democrat. I'm a progressive Democrat. And, hey, if they want to throw themselves on their sword, good, because I want to just share one thing that AOC said that I think is pretty cool, because she was talking about, you know, how we were talking about infrastructure and having things in place and emergency sirens and all that. Well, she said this in like 2021, and she was talking about the Build Back Better Act that had went through the House and it was going to the Senate. And she said, the Dems make themselves vulnerable when they overpromise and underdeliver. Well, that's a classic saying for any political party. But it's especially damaging to the Democrats because we already know how the GOP plays us. Oh, you know, you guys, you always want to do so much. Yeah, and you're supposed to be the
But this is what happens with that. But this, you know, talk about overpromise and underdeliver. This is what happens with that. Instead of everybody getting together and going, okay, we know we got to pass this. So regardless of where you feel right now, let's hold the line and vote for this. But no, you get a group like the squad. Well, I don't like so-and-so, and I don't like this, and I don't like that. I'm not going to vote for it. You get four or five over here. Well, they didn't put my pork in there, and they didn't put my pork in there, so I'm not going to vote for it. Then you get five or six down south. Well, ain't nobody down south on no committee that got power to do with that, so we ain't going to vote for it. And five or six votes sitting back saying what they ain't going to vote for hurts us in the long run, because first and foremost, we don't have enough seats in the House to where anybody can pull back and say what they ain't going to do.
That is absolutely true, Brother Tony. And this is the final thing that I want to say about my major issues with the Democratic Party. I'm not talking about the nitpicky little things that I'll be talking about. This is a big one for me. You know, I'm always talking about, when we talk about the GOP, how after Nixon's fall, they got together with those ultra-conservative think tanks. Well, I was doing a little research, and there are a couple of progressive think tanks out there. There's the Brookings Institute, and then there's the Council on Foreign Affairs. But check this out. When I was doing my research, this thing called the Cato Institute popped up. Now, I'm reading the little, you know, the fine print. It says, oh, they're libertarian leaning. No, they are ultra-conservative. Hello? And I'm
yeah, they are.
This is how these sneaky folks do this. But anyway, we need more money committed to liberal, progressive think tanks so we can be looking 20, 30, 40 years down the road, because that is how the GOP did it. And I'm not saying we have to do it exactly like them, but I'm saying make it in a way where we can start thinking about policy that's going to be 20 generations down the road. The same kind of mindset that the Native Americans had about nature and about their mindset and about everything else. I mean, people forget that our U.S. Constitution is based on that seven tribes. I'm saying it wrong, listeners, but our U.S. Constitution is based on Native American governing beliefs. But see, white folks don't want to tell y'all that because they want to take all the credit. There were intelligent, hardworking people with an affinity for nature, hello, climate change, before the colonialists ever showed up on these shores. But you know what they say, the victor writes the history. So anyway, Brother Tony, I'm all talked out about this particular issue. You know me, I could be nitpicking for the rest of the week. About Democrats,
so,
and I love them.
Getting back on what we were talking about, which is our people, the Democrats, you know, one of the things like now, there are people going, well, I don't think that we should just have one nominee, and Joe Biden shouldn't be the only be. There should be other people able to run. No one said no one else couldn't run. Never once did you hear that. And supposedly y'all favorite boy Kennedy is going to do that. But what I'm starting to see from him is he is now starting to digress on certain things. And see, that's what always gets me. You have somebody who says, well, and there's nothing wrong with it, and it happens a lot under the Democratic tent. Well, I don't like what's being said, and I don't think I should be told to sit down, so I'm going to run. Knock yourself out. But when you're not taken serious, don't try to make it another story.
Right. Right. That's right.
You know, I will honestly say this. If we do not hold a House and we do not hold a Senate, and by chance, if we don't hold the White House, the life you know now will no longer exist.
I agree with that statement.
It will be gone.
Because we can already see that SCOTUS, the Supreme Court of the United States, is already legislating from the bench when they overturn Roe. So we see the future. We can see it. Mm-hmm. You're right. Right.
And all somebody got to do is walk up to one of them with a bag of money and say, this is what we need. And they'll get it.
Oh, yeah.
Clarence Thomas has proven that.
Oh, yeah.
And, I get tired of using him as the example, but he's the example that's out there right now. Even though Roberts and Scalia is doing crazy stuff, too.
Mm-hmm.
But you notice they always focus on Clarence Thomas.
Well, they're going to throw him under the bus, but he has to know that that was coming. He had to know that it was coming. So I guess he just said, I'll just, you know, have a Coke and a smile until, you know, the bus comes. So, you know, because he knows
how
much
and that's sad. But, you know, the Democratic Party, we have some strong people, like I said. And you've heard me say this before. You know, a lot of people whine about who they don't like running for president. Then we need to train up some people, and we need to have a stable in line, ready to go.
Yeah,
now, everybody's talking about Gavin running after the 2024 election. I can see that happening in 2028. I can see that happening. I could also see a few others out there.
I'm sorry, say again.
But I say, but I can also see a few others out there, but we need to have people in, like you said, we need to get people ready. We need to have people in line. We need to work on these think tanks. That would be a good idea.
I was just going to throw another name out there, Brother Tony, that, and if I'm remembering this right, somebody was throwing some shade at this brother, but I think Hakeem Jeffries is an up-and-comer. I don't know about the shade that was thrown on him, and I don't have details, but when I heard it, I was like, really? You know, people like, I can't think of this brother's name, but he was the mayor of Newark, was it?
I like Hakeem Jeffries, but Hakeem Jeffries need a little more seasoning. He need to put a little more work in. You know,
I love it.
And you know what? And see, I'm gonna tell you something about me. I don't get caught up in the little stuff. Ooh, they sounding good. They looking good. I do my research, just like I research everything else. I go back and do research from when you got involved, maybe in city council, to the state, whatever you did, however your level was. I'm gonna come check you out. He need a little more season. He need to get a little more up under him. And that's saying that he can't run. And at one point, I do believe he is going to run. But, see, I don't want us to be like – I don't want young black Democrats to be like Tim Scott. I want them to come with substance. I want them to come with substance.
Yeah. Well, you know, Brother Tony, the thing is that that old adage that people always say about black people, no matter what they do, whether it's politics or working in the corporate world, we always have to be twice as good. Always. And that's especially true of politicians. Cory Booker, that's the brother's name I was trying to think of.
I figured that's what you're talking about.
Yeah. My memory, I'm having a senior moment, y'all. But anyway, I agree with Brother Tony. The brother needs more seasoning. And if he's smart, returning to what Brother Tony said about the elders in the party, like Auntie Maxine, who knows how to kick ass and takes names. I mean, I'll just say this, and then I'm on hush because I don't really know how much time we got. I know we got enough time. But the reason that I am so in love with politics, number one was taking that U.S. Constitution class in eighth grade, and number two was Sister Barbara Jordan out of Texas. When she was on those the Watergate committee, and she was asking those questions, and I'm in middle school leaning forward, looking at the TV, looking at this strong, big, dark-skinned black woman with this powerful voice asking these questions. I said, oh, my God. And I just said, you know what? That is something that I want to be able to do. I love the fact that she's asking all these questions of me and she was supposed to be afraid of. From Texas.
Uh-uh.
I said, you know what? I had to research that since the background. Yes, I did.
I'm going to tell you a story. When I was a little dude, we went to Texas to visit Grand Nana. We go to Austin, and the one thing I love about Austin is you can always go visit the state capitol. And just so happened, that's where we went. And we went, and the session was in, and we sat in a rotunda, and I got to see Barbara Jordan speak when she was in the state house. And the only reason I knew who she was Grand Nana was like, hey, that's Miss Barbara Jordan, and she used to explain some things to me. But like you, I'm sitting there, and I'm a little young cat, and I'm sitting there listening like, whoa. And we were at Urban Inn, and I'm like, whoa. Yeah. And like you, I was taken back by the fact that this is a black woman speaking in front of all these white folks.
Come on.
And they sitting there attentive as hell.
Yep.
Girl, the same way she spoke in the house.
Yes.
The same way she spoke in the house, she spoke in the state house. She pulled no punches.
No, none. See, in D.C., she ain't pulling no punches. She giving it to him straight, no chase.
But that's what the Democrats have got to get back to. I don't care what color you are, white, black. The Democrats have got to cut out this kumbaya type of stuff and have got to learn how to fight, just like the Republicans do.
Yep, I'm with you, brother. I am with you 100% on that. Let's kick some ass.
They are allowing a little too much to go unchecked. And you know me, I'm thuggish about certain things. Certain things you don't let go unchecked.
Well, I can't say nothing because I'm right there with you. You know, we have been knowing each other for a long time.
You know, the thing about Democratic politics is, at some point, y'all got to pull it together and cut out all this silliness. They got to start working together because if they don't, they're getting ready. The country is going to fall apart. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there whining and crying, oh, World War III is coming, World War III is coming. Well, I don't see no civil war coming. I do see hard times coming if we don't pull it together. And see, time's going to be hard. You ain't going to have time to be trying to have no damn civil war. You're going to be trying to work together so folks can keep roofs over their head and food in their stomach. You ain't got time for civil shit. See, that's what other people don't understand.
Oh, yo, you're right.
That's what other people don't understand is that.
I was just going to add that it might not be a civil war, but I do believe a culture war is coming. And because of everything you just said is why, you know, black people need to stop singing and start swinging. We need to get ready. So, you know, be ready so we don't have to get ready. And I'm just going to say this because I'm sure if they don't have kids in preschool or some kind of a nursery school, they know somebody who is. You know, one of the things I love about Head Start, I know it seems off topic, is the fact that in each Head Start location, there is an emergency kit. And by kit, I mean like a garbage can that has water for all those kids for so many days. They've got wipes. They've got it all. They've got, you know, first aid kits. They have dried food. These are the type of things, and I know it sounds like, oh, the apocalypse. No, I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about being ready in case you got to throw your stuff in the back of a truck and get the hell out, just like those people in Maui.
Well, Sister Reed, what you don't realize is we're already in a culture war. Culture war been started. But what you just said about emergency kits, I don't know.
I do know. I'm talking about the escalation of the culture war.
No,
go ahead.
And trust me, and it's being escalated, which is why I spoke on it. But the thing about that is what you just said about emergency kits makes sense. And if you have not prepared one in your home, you need to. Because we've always had several emergency kits put together. We live in California. And
yep.
We started doing that way back when, because the thing about living in California, you never know what you're going to deal with. Earthquake, hurricane, flood, whatever, forest fire. We can get hit by anything. You know, one of those rockets at Vandenberg might veer off course.
You never know.
And what a lot of people don't understand is Vandenberg Air Force Base is in a direct line of Fresno, California, which is why whenever they shoot off a weather satellite, you can see it take off and watch it go up into the sky.
Not to mention you got the Naval Air Station down in Lemoore doing their thing. So you're right, Brother Tony. And I'm glad to know that, you know, you've always been on it when it comes to that. It's the same with my family. I remember when my mom found out, these many years ago, that the state of the water in Fresno was terrible and started taking bottled water. So we had bottled water, and I'm talking about the big 5-gallon things that you could put the screw top on and pump it, and the water comes up.
Oh,
so you don't have to lift it. So it's important to be ready. You say that every closing of the show. And I love that part because you are reminding people. And somehow it's getting into the, what's that fancy $10 word I'm looking for, zygous, into the mindset of people, our people, black people. Because we want them, that's why I always say, I want you to stay black, because if you stay black, you're going to stay ready. Always. So anyway, I'm wore out. I don't know about you, brother.
Well, my thing is this. Again, I will always say the Democratic Party has a big tent, and we have got to really start using that tent for more than just shelter. We have got to come together. We have got to work together, and we have got to start rowing in the same damn direction.
Yes,
and it's okay if you don't think the same all the time, but when it comes to holding the line, we must stand together and hold the line.
Come on with it. He speaks the truth, y'all.
And that's the important thing. And, you know, I will just be honest with you. As a black American, when it comes to voting, speaking for myself, and I'll say it again, speaking for myself, for me, voting for the Democratic Party is the lesser of two evils, because the Republican Party has already shown me what it's not willing to do for me, what it isn't going to do for me, and that it don't give a damn about me. So the Democratic Party at least shows me a little bit, but I need you to do a little bit more. I need you to be a little bit stronger, a little bit tougher.
That's right. Tell them, brother. Tell them.
If we go stand on principle, then damn it, truly stand on principle.
Hello. Yes.
And with that,
I had to say,
it's been a long day. I'm a little bit burnt out today, so we're going to call it a night.
It has been a long day. Don't get longer for some folks who will remain unnamed, but, you know, are trying to get a deal somewhere in Georgia. But, Brother Tony, I'm going to say what I always say. If it's about that time, I'm gonna do my bit. Is it about that time?
Go right ahead.
All right. Well, I'm going to say what I say every Tuesday and Thursday that we're on the air. It's about a mindset, y'all. We in a culture war. Brother Tony's right about that. And the culture war is going to escalate. So here's what I want y'all to do. Please, I implore you to stay black. Stay black until we get back with you. Brother Tony.
And as I always say, each one, reach one, teach one. Those of you proficient with your firearms, take your people to the range. Get them trained up, get them ready, get them licensed. Start a neighborhood watch, start a cop watch. Watch the people who are watching us. As I say and will continue to say, as we get deeper into 2023, heading into 2024, getting ready for this upcoming election, do not get sidetracked by the issues that are taking place, which is a former president being indicted in Florida, a former president being indicted in Georgia. This man has four indictments. In Georgia, his fourth indictment carries 41 counts. Not to mention the ones he has in Florida. But this is what they want you to focus on. They want to try to play it up as if the Justice Department is being weaponized to stop this man. The devil is a lie. The only one that can stop this man is that man, his damn self, because he put all of this in motion by doing the dirt that he did. Now, just like there are white folks out there screaming and ranting and saying that he's getting a raw deal, there are black folks out there saying that he's getting a raw deal too.
Yeah.
You know who's getting a raw deal? The people of the United States. Because with everything that's going on, our attention really needs to be focused on something much more, like holding this country together, taking care of them folks over there in Hawaii, and continue to say prayers for those people, because that death count keeps going up.
Yes, it does.
I've heard some people say some very foul things about what's happening over there, and the truth of the matter is they need to keep their mouth shut. But see, again, people let their racism show, and right now that seems to be the thing. People want to let their racism flag fly, and why? I don't know. Let's not be stupid, because the bottom line is this, and I'm just going to say what's on my mind. There's a whole lot of you white folks out there talking stupid, and if it wasn't for somebody black, you wouldn't be here now.
See? Come on.
That plain and simple. Because there were times you weren't included, we made sure you got included.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
There's a whole bunch of y'all didn't get a square meal until a sister came along and fixed one for you.
Hello.
Don't act like you forgot where you come from. And I'm going to tell you what we were told growing up. Don't forget your home training.
That's right.
Because
oh,
whether you realize it or not, you got some.
Now.
Whether you realize it or not, you got some. So, hey, take care of your
right.
loved ones. Everybody, try to pull this world together. It is time for us to work together as one. You know, I don't truly believe in allies, but I believe we can all be redeemed. So, hey, let's get to working on it. So, it's been a long, long day, but we will be back Thursday. And only God knows what we'll talk about then. But, hey, I'll tell you what, I bet it's going to be interesting. So until you hear from me and Sister Reed Thursday night, we'll holler.